What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 18th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Do you have PL Pro? I just want to let you guys know this. You are going through your playoff stretch. We are here for you. If you have PL Pro, you get access to our staff for all your fantasy help 24/7. You also get our expected starter table for all starting pitchers, my buckets for 2 weeks of sit and start, which means you can plan for your Sunday next week, among a slew of other tools, and it's the best way to support what we do. So go get PL Pro yearly today for 15% off with promo code PODCAST in all caps. Go to pitchers.com/premium. Use promo code PODCAST for 15% off PL Pro yearly. And Nabil Krizmat is the lead today for the SP Roundup. It was his first game of the year, and he started in Coors, only threw 62 pitches, and he still came through. What? 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's a righty with a really good changeup. 10 over 26 whiffs with a 50% CSW, and there really isn't a whole lot else. Now, if he's able to throw the sinker inside righties, have a decent enough four-seamer, like 89, to make the changeup work fine, but I just don't really think that this is anything to note. I don't know how many more starts he's going to get with the Diamondbacks in the first place. He might get the Reds carpet next, which is kind of nice on Saturday, but he's only at 62 pitches. I just feel like you should just chase something else and move on with your life. You have Andrew Abbott against the Reds. As a Red against the Brewers, 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He now has a 2.28 ERA with a 1.08 WHIP across 130 innings. And I apologize. I've done it before already for Andrew Abbott. Boy, was I wrong on him. I certainly don't have him anywhere. And I just didn't expect him to do well in Great American Ballpark without a very good fastball. His changeup and curve just are not really that elite, but they've certainly squeezed out the results that you want from it. It's great, and boy, was I dumb. And we keep starting with Andrew Abbott. Dean Kramer against the Astros got the win, 7 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts, 21 whiffs for a gallows pole. Dean Kramer, I call him Dean Werewolf because he is very much back and forth, very much a hipster on your 12-teamers that you really should not go after. It's like 1 out of every 3. Is something like this. And I do have to mention that the Orioles pitching staff of Povich, Brandon Young, and Dean Kramer destroyed the Astros this weekend. With a 0.65 WHIP, 1.35 ERA in 20 innings is bonkers. And with Dean Kramer, I mean, this was gorgeous. Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers and splitters to lefties. And then you have the cutter doing beautiful things also with the sinker down and away. Oh my gosh. It was so nice. I just want Dean Kramer to be like this always, and I just know he won't. 114 pitches, so he's certainly going to be hung over a little bit for his next one, too. We see that a lot when guys have their max pitch count in a season. That's when it's over 100 or so. They do have an impact in the next one. Logan Webb against the Rays got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs. 3 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. This was great as a result. The sweeper wasn't really a huge factor. It was mostly just the classic sinker changeup approach, but it was to perfection, which is awesome. I just don't know how to feel about the sustainability of it, as we haven't seen Webb execute that combo this well for a while, and we know that he's just safer if he has the cutter and sweeper working better. Also to note, Kyle Bland put a really good thing, he must have done it on Twitter and on Blue Sky as well, but to the staff, he showed Nolan McLean's pitch movement chart and Logan Webb's, and they are essentially the same, save for Webb's changeup being far better, and then McLean's curveball being far better. It's kind of like they need to have a conversation, be like, yo, can you teach me the changeup? I'll give you the curve. It'll be great. Davis Martin against the Royals, 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Davis Martin, sinkers and cutters away, down and away. Actually, excuse me, Dean Kramer only threw the cutter down and away really well, but Davis Martin did it so beautifully with sinkers and cutters down and away to right-handers. And he had a few fastballs they got away with to lefties, but the changeup did really well to it. Koufax helped here. I don't really love chasing Davis Martin because I feel like this is his ceiling. Like, it's not destined to be an 8-strikeout game in 1 walk or something, not like pure dominance. It's just cool, I'm going to hope that I have a good defense behind me and things should go okay. Like, he gives himself a chance each time. He's really a 15-team Toby. Antonio Sensatella had 0 runs in 5 innings in Coors. And if that's not a birthday party, and I don't know what is. All right? I gave the gold star to Krizmak because I hate giving it to Colorado guys because it's just overdone at this point. But I mean, this is as much of a birthday party as you'll see. Carmen Mlodzinski for the Pirates. We thought this was a bullpen game. And yeah, he only threw 44 pitches against the Cubs, but it was 4 innings. 4 innings, 44 pitches, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And if you watch this, you can kind of see how Mlodzinski's very good. He has 96-97 with a legit kick change. And by the way, he has a curveball at 84-85 with a lot of two-plane movement. However, his command isn't very good. And it's kind of frustrating to watch a bit. And it was only 44 pitches. And the 96-97 is pretty empty velocity. So it's kind of like Cade Cavalli. Just Cade Cavalli without the kick change, but also Cavalli with much better command of that curveball. And also a little bit more velocity. It is very interesting, though, that like Carmen Mlodzinski and Cade Cavalli are reminding me now of each other. The sinker does have 16 to 17 inches of ride. So that really should be the thing of going inside. To right-handers, I don't think the four-seamer is commanded very well, and that should be the left-handed approach, I guess. But really, it's just changeups and curves should be all day for Mlodzinski. I'm curious, like, the Pirates for next year, Brashton, Ashcraft, and Mike Burrows, and Mlodzinski, and Skeens. I mean, there's four there. Jared Jones comes back. There's, oh yeah, this guy named Bubba Chandler. Like, they have this array of really good Pirates pitchers. It's kind of wild. Garrett Crochet against the Marlins did exactly what he was supposed to do. 7 innings, 1 run, ace is going to ace, blah, blah, blah. Lovely. Just no win because life is dumb. Jose Quintana against the Reds in Great American Ballpark did exactly what you want him to do. 6.1 innings, a 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. And yeah, when he is cooking, we are booking some time at the Hotel Jose. It's the Giants next. So yeah, we are going to get breakfast at the hotel. Ryan Burgert against the White Sox was my stream pick of the day. 5.1 innings of 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. The whip is not what we wanted, but he was singled out, and the slider and sweeper combo is killing it. The four-seamer having about 18 inches of vert is lovely. It is an average attack angle, which is good. Paired with high vert normally means you'd have more of a steep angle. He doesn't, which means that high vert is really a surprise vert. And that's why it is effective upstairs, but it's only about 92. If Burgert is able to get that to 94, 95 in the offseason, oh boy, he's got those whiffable breakers as well. And now Burgert will get Detroit, the White Sox, and the Guardians, and I'm kind of tempted. It is in Detroit and in Chicago, which is a little unfortunate because obviously Kauffman is great, but I think I'm down for all of them. I think that Burgert's breakers are good enough, and the four-seamer is also there, and the intent is beautiful with the Blake Snell blueprint. Now, Thomas Hatch, what? You went 5 innings and got a win? You threw 81 pitches? This was supposed to be a bullpen game. We thought it was initially going to be Travis Adams. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. He is sinker slider to right-handers, and then cutter change to lefties, and it just kind of worked-ish. I don't think this is good. Okay? Cool. Clay Holmes repaired his home. That is, the Adobe has been patched up. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts against Seattle in Citi Field. He threw strikes with all of his secondaries. Like, he was around the edges with everything, and that's not common for Holmes these days. I'd be very cautious starting him against Atlanta next. Will Warren against the Cardinals. 4.2 innings and 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Only 5 whiffs on 95 pitches. Why are you just not touching the changeup? You threw one of them in this game. That should be the lefty approach. Not all these fastballs over the plate, like four-seamers. Like, here you go, here you go. No, that changeup's really good. And the sweeper wasn't doing a whole lot to righties as much as we wanted to. Yes, it was a sinker backdoor once again, and the four-seamer's fine. But, well, Morin, like, changeup, hi, that's a really, really good offering. Do that. Logan Allen against Atlanta, 4.2 innings, a 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 107 pitches. Yeah, Atlanta's not that great of an offense to face, and Allen did not get things down. So, yeah, you got to do that, and I don't really want to go for Allen unless it's a really good matchup. We have Javier Assad against the Pirates. 4 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Only 5 whiffs. I just watch him. I go, why? I just don't really think that this is that great. I'm happy you went 4 innings and 1 run. It was the Pirates. It's just really uninteresting. You have Christian Javier, who was ill, and that's why the velocity was at 91, so he went 3 innings yesterday. I would not worry about it. He had an illness. I would be starting him later this week. Nathan Eovaldi and Tyler Glasnow are both going to go ace. Is going to ace. Glasnow had good sliders, and he's throwing too many sinkers. But really nice to see the slider come around for him, and Eovaldi is even throwing some sinkers himself. 4 of them, he allowed 1 hit. It's annoying. But yeah, I like both of those guys, of course. And we have other ones to talk about from Jansen Junk, Miles Michaelis, Ryan Pepio, Darvish, what happened to Kirby and Nola? And we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Jansen Junk in Fenway, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. But he almost went 1 earned run because a home run, oh my gosh, to right. He had it in his mitt. He crashes the wall and the ball just bobbled out over the fence for a 2-run shot to Abreu. So it was a really nice start. He was a junk baller. And Jansen would be someone I would consider picking up if he didn't have to get the Jays and Mets next. So I think it's just too risky to do that. Miles Michaelis against the Yankees walked 5 batters, earned 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? In 5 innings and somehow allowed just 3 runs. I don't know, Yankees. What are you doing? Ryan Pepio against the Giants, 5.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. And get this, he had 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs before 5 straight batters reached, including a 4-pitch walk, a dribbler through the hole, a broken bases clearing double, a broken bat bases clearing double, and essentially 2 bloops. It was so frustrating. He just couldn't get out of it. That was it. And fortunately, he didn't get that man on second coming around to score when he was removed. It would have been 5 earned runs then. But those who are worried about Pepio, I wouldn't. I mean, this was 2 base runners and 8 strikeouts and 5.2 innings of shutout ball before that, right? Yes, 27% non-competitive rate on the four-seamer is concerning. Absolutely. But man, he gets the Cardinals and the Nationals and the Guardians and the White Sox and the next 4 starts. Like, you got to keep holding on to Pepio. It's going to be worthwhile. Yu Darvish, oh my gosh, 4 runs in the first inning. He had this against the Dodgers, and then he didn't allow a run after that, but it was 4 runs in 4 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks as well. He allowed 3 hits on 2 strike pitches, and both of the home runs in the first, an 0-2 pitch to Freeman down the pipe, and an 0-2 breaker that Páez just went down and got. That was still 2 hittable, and it's just so frustrating. He had a 1-2 curveball to Will Smith that was just like right down the plate. Like, no. Oh, man. And the thing is, he did adjust, and it was great after that. And now it's in Seattle, and then it's Baltimore and the Reds carpet. And I feel like, yeah, you kind of want those. Oh, wait, I forgot. It's the Dodgers next, and then those 3. So you got to figure that out. Do you want to take a chance here against the Dodgers again? Remember, it was 1 bad inning and then 3 really good ones. I don't know. I don't know. But you do want the ones after, so I guess you can't really drop them. It's up to you. If you're in a situation where you need to win this week, yeah, you drop them and you figure out the next week after that. Eric Fede, don't trust the Feds, 4 runs in 4 innings. Jose Soriano did not do well, 5.2 innings of 5 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. 3 solo shots in this one. 1 was off the sinker, 2 off the curveball. He threw strikes with a sinker, they hit him. He's a hipster. It's that simple. Jeffrey Springs against the Angels on the other side. He went against a lot of right-handers, and he threw changeups for whiffs, 10 over 36 whiffs. That's what we were thinking, but it wasn't sunshine and rainbows overall because everything else got hit. So there you go. He allowed 3 runs in the first, got bamboozled a bit here too. Mitchell Parker, wow. 1.2 innings of 5 earned runs for its 3 walks and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But no one had him on their teams. And honestly, I kind of wish that Parker gets DFA'd and moves to another team because there will be some place that takes a chance on Parker like it was with like Carlos Carrasco or Jose Ureña or all those kind of guys, and they go, wait, you have 7 feet of extension and a lot of vert on your four seamer, and you've had a 4-pitch mix with a splitter, slider, and curve in the past, and when you've had sliders to right-handers, those work, and there's stuff to like here. So I am very curious to see what the future holds for Mitchell Parker. I think there is still potential to seize here. Jose Barrios against the Rangers. He's a great undulator who now has a 4 ERA and 1.29 whip after yesterday's 4.1 innings of 6 runs, 10 hits, and 0 walks in 2 Ks. Oh boy. He's supposed to not be, right? He's supposed to be anywhere between a 3.5 ERA and a 3.9 ERA, so he's clearly going to get better. But I don't know. We'll see. 1.29 whip is also a little worse than we normally see as well. And if my camera's moving, it's because my cat is sneezing and flinching while she naps. So, sorry about that. But, Jose Berríos, I just don't think is worth your time in 12-teamers. You have Aaron Nola against the Nationals, 2.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Well, he was good for 2 innings and all of a sudden fell apart. He got singled out in the third. Come on, Nationals, that's not fair. He's going to have to get the Nationals again. This was a still ill start for Aaron Nola. He went only 53 pitches, but he would have gotten a lot more if it weren't for that third inning where he just threw too many in a row. Like, yeah, okay, we got to end this. He should be better against the Nationals next. I wouldn't be worried about it. George Kirby, same kind of thing. I mean, 4.2 innings, 700 runs, 12 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Oh my gosh, he got singled out in the fifth with a 3-run shot also in the second. It was just not a good day. That's all I can really say. He should be much better. And then you have Chris Paddock also. He's very prone to these blowups. And he did well against lefties. He executed his plan, but righties, he just could not do anything good. 5.2 innings of 8 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks, and you just got to treat him like a streaming option. That's really it. I still feel like he's a Toby, but yeah, he's really just a streaming option. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. We are going to be moving to the schedule focus of the list next week. That is the traditional list of me ranking 1 through 100. Only exists for one more day, and that is today. I'll be doing that. It'll be out around like 7 o'clock, as it usually is on Monday night. But then we go to the full schedule-focused one where I just put them into tiers of what their schedule holds and their skill set and telling you kind of if they're an auto start, if they're not, and looking at every single team's expected schedule through the rest of the season as I go and give you notes on every player based on that too. So look forward to that next week. It's one of the biggest shifts that we do all season, but you'll have the last traditional list today. That is it, though. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.